answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to say something now directly to Mr. Swalwell. Your recent statement that you are just not perfect, you are not a saint, is just blather and spin. Stop it. Your statement that this is all just a matter between you and your wife is laughable, if not for the fact that it is a slap in the face to the victims. Your statement yesterday that you just made, quote, mistakes in judgment is defensive and minimizing. Stop it. Own your behavior.
Own your behavior. That is an attorney representing one of the women who claimed that she was sexually assaulted, raped by Eric Swalwell. And she is correct that here's Swalwell saying this is between me and my wife. Actually, it's not, because the women were victims. If their story is true and to be believed, I reinforce to you, I do not know if their stories are true or not. But I will also point out where Eric Swalwell stood when women came to speak out against Kavanaugh being named to the Supreme Court with various allegations that he molested them or in some way mistreated them. And it was their word against his word as well then. And there was no other supporting evidence. They couldn't even remember in some cases the date, the place, the location of anything. It was all suspect. But it was clear the Democrats did not want a Trump appointee on the U.S. Supreme Court. If it weren't Kavanaugh, it'd be someone else. But Swalwell, even though he's resigning from Congress, and, you know, that's something he said he did, and yet I'm not sure if he actually has yet or not. That there's still stuff floating around that, is he involved still with Congress or not? Which brings up another question. If a congressman or a member of the U.S. Senate or the president is convicted of any crime, do they continue to draw a government pension? Do you know how much they supposedly get at this point? We'll get into that for you a little bit later in today's program, because with Larry Connors USA, here every day, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8, we bring you news, analysis, commentary, and education. And that will be part of the education later in this hour. And we are going to hear more from the women with their stories against Eric Swalwell. His defense, basically, they're all lying. And we also have an issue that's been brewing between the Pope and President Trump. And the photograph, the depiction that Trump posted the other day on social media that many said it made him look like Christ, Jesus himself, healing someone sick, maybe dead, raising them from the dead. And Trump says, no, I look at it as just me being a doctor. There's something else behind that story that you might not have heard, but you will before we complete this hour. And the division that exists between the Pope and Trump, and how that could affect Trump supporters who are Catholics. But let's look at something on the bright side. Let's look at New York City and their Mayor Mondani. Oh, he has such great plans for his city. You know he said that. He was going to make sure that their life was going to become better. And remember, he was talking about those new grocery stores he was going to open up, free grocery stores? Well, He has an additional remark about that.
We will use government to respond to rising prices and unaffordable groceries. Since the pandemic, grocery prices have gone up, and they haven't come back down. Between 2013 and 2023, grocery prices increased in New York City by nearly 66%, significantly higher than the national average. During our campaign, we promised New Yorkers that we would create a network of city-owned grocery stores, one in each borough. And we are here today to celebrate the site of the Manhattan store, La Maqueta, which will be open by 2029.
What? By when? What did you just say? Mondami's talking about we're here to sign the document that will open these free grocery stores so everything will be more affordable for you. And they'll be available for you. Not later this year. Not next year. He says the first government-run grocery store won't open until 2029. Until then, just good luck. It won't happen anyway, and you know it. It says a weak campaign promise, as I made when I was in high school, running for the vice president of the student council. And I told the kids, my colleagues, that I will fight to have us have a teen center open where we can all go and party and dance because we're not allowed, obviously, at our age to go into bars. Can't do that. That's where all the honky-tonk stuff is. We will have a teen center just for us. Oh, and they love me. They love the idea. I had no idea how I was going to make it happen. And yes, you're right. I did not make it happen. So I guess I'm in the same situation, Mondami. Promise you everything, give you nothing. What we do know about Mondami and the rest of those around him, they like to prosecute and persecute and weaponize. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche talking about how the Attorney General's office had been weaponized during the Obama administration.
People say the president wants to go after his political enemies. No, the president has said time and time again that he wants justice. And if you look at what happened to him, his family, his administration, the agents that protected him, people that happened to just walk by him on a given day, they got subjected to massive investigations by this department. So I understand the question, and I understand the pretty constant role of the media that somehow this department is weaponizing itself, but it happens not to be true. We have tens of thousands of prosecutors all over this country putting bad guys in jail. Okay, that's something that wasn't happening like it should have been happening for the past 4 years. That's going to happen tomorrow, and it's going to happen in the coming days.
It happened during Obama that they were persecuting, prosecuting, as they did during the Biden administration, weaponizing that attorney general's office. And I mentioned earlier this depiction that was posted by Donald Trump, and he admits he is the one who put it on True Social. And then he said, but I thought it was showing me as a doctor. Something interesting about this. David Harris, host of The Pulse on Newsmax, said there's a backstory that many folks are forgetting. This is not the first time that depiction appeared.
And now we have the backstory that makes it all make sense. I wonder how every single person that jumped to conclusions thinking that President Trump was trying to depict himself as the Messiah feels now. So Nick Adams is actually the one that created the picture of President Trump laying his hands on the guy in the hospital bed, basically. He posted the original image in February 4th. Everybody loved it. His description was, President Trump is healing America. Nobody had a problem with it. Somebody took the image, adjusted the military people in the sky to make it look a little bit more like they're angels or something. That's all they did. That's who Trump's team posted, probably with the same understanding that this image is Trump healing America. which everybody's prayed for and believe that that's exactly what he's doing. Most Christians and people of faith support President Trump because he's got the White House Office of Faith right next to the Oval Office. He's done more for religious liberties than any past president that I know of. They still want to attack him. People just didn't wait. Why is everybody so quick to jump to conclusions and throw stones at a man that's literally trying to defend and save this country? And I firmly believe God chose him to do it. God selected him to do it. And God wasn't tripping when he saw that image. Were you?
Well, again, that will be your decision and what you believe or don't believe. I'm not going to tell you. It's your thought, your intent. I do believe that God spared his life. I do believe that when it came to the Webster shooting in Pennsylvania. And there's been word now that there's another guy that'd been caught near the Trump estate wearing body armor, carrying a weapon painted to make it look like a toy, you know, basically coloring the end of the barrel red so you might think it's just a toy when it wasn't. That story's still coming undone. But the Pope has been involved in knocking several things that Trump has been involved in, and that is particular about the immigration and speaking out. And I remind you again, the Vatican has walls around it and guards. You do not simply walk into the Vatican. Why would they have walls around the Vatican if it's supposed to be for everybody should have a chance to come and go as they choose? That's one thing. And when it comes to the Pope speaking out on immigration and saying basically every nation should accept everyone that wants to come in, Baltazar Homan, who is a Catholic, he also has issues with the Pope on immigration issues.
I'm not going to speak for the president. I'm speaking for myself, a lifelong Catholic. I wish they stay out of immigration. They don't know what they're talking about. Because if they wore my shoes for 40 years and talked to a 9-year-old girl that got raped multiple times, or stood in the back of a trailer, back of a tractor trailer, with 19 dead aliens at my feet, including a 5-year-old boy that baked to death, if they understood the atrocities that happened on the open border, I think their opinion would change. And I welcome discussion with any of them, because they don't understand. Illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. Would President Trump have the most secure border in the lifetime of this nation right now? Lives are being saved. He's saving thousands of lives a year because he has a secure border. Human traffickers are out of business, right? The cartels are going bankrupt because of that secure border. I wish they'd understand that, because if they did, I think they have a different opinion.
You think? I think some of them do understand it, but they don't want to believe it and they don't want to repeat it. They'd rather push the lies. Now, there are many Democrats who are Catholic, and they took offense at that depiction. And I didn't like it either. I called it out. I said I didn't like it. Trump did take it down. But it was interesting, wasn't it, that the same thing had been done months ago and nobody really made that big of an outcry. But now they are. They were thinking, oh, we missed an opportunity, didn't they? Well, they didn't now, so they are coming after it. But we do have this conflict between Trump and the Pope on various issues. And in fact, Hal Lambert, who is a CEO of Point Bridge Capital, was on CNN, and he made a remark suggesting that maybe the Pope is a Democrat in disguise. Now, before we go into that, I'll remind you that when JFK ran, he was Catholic. And there was a fear throughout the country, and many voting against him, not even for Nixon, but against Kennedy, because they feared if he became president, our whole nation would be under the thumb of the Vatican. That's where we were. We're not there at this point, but we still have a large Catholic vote, and there are many inside the MAGA movement. So this discussion on CNN the other day about the Pope, and could this swing the election?
Okay, this is all about trying to hurt President Trump's Catholic vote during the midterms and Republicans during the midterms. If you look at what play out the dots here, David Axelrod goes and visits
the Pope
last
week. Oh, my God, the arrogance of this. There's a billion Catholics in the world. They're all worried about Trump's election in the midterms.
Clearly, I'm striking a chord here.
Let's let him finish the thought.
David Axelrod goes and visits Pope Leo last week. They're talking about Obama going to visit Pope Leo. Pope Leo's from Chicago. All of a sudden, now Pope Leo is out attacking Trump and the policies of the United States and Israel.
All
in
of a
way,
sudden?
Well, in a much more forceful way. You have three cardinals come out today attacking the immigration policy. This is all about trying to get the Catholic vote against Trump. And let me add one more thing.
There's a lot of flaws in this argument.
They're going to succeed.
There's no flaws.
They're going to succeed.
There's no flaws.
Including that none of the things that you're describing
as Axelrod is the chief strategist for Obama.
He's also from Chicago, but that's not why
he went. The Pope is saying he's not political. Why is he meeting with the chief strategist for both Obama's campaigns and in the White House?
The Pope Francis.
Oh, really? Would he have a possible reason to meet with the chief political
strategist? J.D. Vance met with the Pope before the last one died.
Exactly. Pope Francis met with J.D. Vance. Pope Francis was extremely critical.
J.D. Vance is Vice President of the United States.
Hold on a second. Pope Francis was extremely critical of Trump. He was extremely critical of the immigration rhetoric from Trump and his allies. He still met.
Let me add one more thing that Pope Leo is not critical of.
What's the conspiracy?
Let me ask you this. Why has Pope Leo been, when Iran killed 30,000 plus of their own citizens, he didn't call out the Iranian regime at all.
No,
he said, we need to stop violence. That was very milquetoast. That wasn't calling out the Iranian regime, and yet he's calling out the United States and Israel.
He did not say word one about that. Not one. You know, earlier in this segment, we were talking about how New York Mayor Mondami is promising we're going to have these free grocery stores open in 2029. He also used the rally the other day to mark his 100th day in office, talking about all the success he's had. He said, I know many of you socialists is a dirty word, something to be ashamed of. We will not be ashamed of using government to fight for many. We're going to fill every city street pothole. We've done it already. Since January 1, we've done a lot of them. And he said, if the government can't do the small things, how could you ever trust it to do the big ones? My answer, I don't. I don't trust you to do the little or big things. Not you. Oh, and standing beside him to mark his 100th day in office, leftist icon Bernie Sanders. That says it all, doesn't it? I want you to hear from some of those accusing Swalwell of... Well, you'll hear exactly what they accuse him of. It's their word against his, but I want you to hear them. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing remind you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beale to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beale has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beale. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now let's be clear. This thing has been an open secret and whispered about amongst the campaigns for months that this Swalwell thing could break. And we have both talked to campaigns who have said off the record, part of the reason that they stayed in the race, even though their poll numbers were low, was that they were expecting that there could be this big story that breaks about Eric Swalwell that knocks him out of the race and that gives them all a fresh start.
Yeah, that they've known about it, but he was still useful. And maybe in running in California to become the next California governor. His aunt is Nancy Pelosi. You knew she knew his character. They're one and alike when you get down to it. So the Democrats were aware of all this going on. That's a statement and report from CNN. Acknowledging Democrats were aware of the accusations. And I stress accusations. There's nothing proven at this point. I was telling you earlier that, you know, Swalwell the other day did say that I'm going to leave Congress. And that was because he did not want to go through expulsion. So, if you leave, you're not expelled, which would carry a different look at everything. Now, I'll also remind you, there is a Republican congressman, Tony Gonzalez, and he's also facing similar accusations, so he's deciding he's not going to run again, and so he's going to step aside. But 2 days ago, Swalwell announced, I will resign my seat in the U.S. House, citing the need to avoid distracting constituents from his duties. These liaisons, these little hotel escapades, they were not distracting anything from constituencies because they didn't know about it. They didn't know. It's behind closed doors. But now the doors are blown wide open. How much is fact? How much is fiction? Swalwell knows enough that he says, I'm going to resign. I don't want any more distracting constituents from my duties with this kind of stuff because potential expulsion proceedings. And in a statement, he did apologize for, quote, mistakes in judgment, but denied the allegations, calling them serious, false, vowing to fight them. Multiple women have accused Swalwell of sexual misconduct, and you're going to hear from some of them. Now, he had been a front runner in the California gubernatorial race, and that was the first thing he did the other day, announced, I'm suspending my campaign. No kidding. And a lot of people that send him campaign money, they want it back. If you're not going to run, we want it back. And then basically, they do not want to support him. And his longtime friend, Senator Gallegos, now says, I hardly knew him. Who is this man? That's straight out of the Bible, denying Jesus at his crucifixion. So basically, Swalwell is no longer in Congress, resigning effective immediately, is what he had stated. But there's still calls around and statements that, you know, well, I got one foot out the door. I don't know if I want both or not. I think he is out, period. And, of course, as a congressman, he has to run for re-election every 2 years, which would be coming up for the primaries. But he wasn't going to run in the primary anyway. He was going to run as the candidate to be the next governor of California. And a lot of Democrats wanted him to succeed. But now they're doing everything they can to get away from him. So the accusers are coming forward.
This is the first time the Swalwell's accusers have been willing to go on camera. And they told us it wasn't an easy decision, but that they've been shocked to discover how many women had stories about Swalwell that were apparently just like theirs.
I didn't tell anybody for years. Out of fear.
What were you afraid of?
Well, at first I thought I was all alone.
Annika Albrecht was still in college when she says she got what she thought was a big break. California Congressman Eric Swalwell offering to stay in touch after meeting with her student group in Washington, D.C.
He offered to mentor me.
Wow.
That was as someone who knew virtually nothing about politics at the time or no one. That was just an incredibly generous offer that I felt very lucky to have.
She says Swalwell created a group chat with all the students and then added her as a friend on the messaging app Snapchat.
And so I asked the other people that were in the meeting, did he add them? And they said no.
Were they all men?
Yes. I was the only woman in the meeting.
I'll be darned. The men were not given a special invite. Now, again, that is one woman's story. Some of it can probably be documented if they go pulling up details of text messaging, things of that nature. And there's another one who tells a story that she knew that he was married, but she was being invited to his hotel because he had to do some work at the hotel before they went to a function and said, come along with me while I work on some paperwork. So she already had suspicions, but she went after he served her a wine, or they were at a restaurant where she had a wine. This suggests everything like the old Bill Cosby stories, putting something into the drink.
Ultimately, it reached a point where he invited me to a hotel to meet him. It was very clear what the connotation was. At that point, I completely stopped responding. What I keep thinking back to is how lucky I am that I didn't go to that hotel.
Ali Sammarco says she had a similar experience in 2021. She sent Swalwell a supportive message on Twitter, and to her surprise, he messaged right back.
I was so excited. I was a low-level staffer who had no real political background, and he was this established figure in Democratic politics.
They began to text, but she says he soon asked if she, too, was on Snapchat, where messages and photos automatically get deleted after they're viewed.
How did the tenor of his conversation change?
It started out as professional and platonic, and then slowly they became more and more explicit, asking me what I was wearing. Then one night he was on a trip, and he was laying in his hotel room bed, and then he sent me a photo of his penis.
And then there's another victim that ended up in his hotel room. Her story.
He offered me connections to further my software company. And I also had an interest in local politics. He invited me to two public events. I knew he was married at the time and that his wife was pregnant. He was my friend. On the third occasion, I believe he drugged my drink. I only had one glass of wine. We were supposed to go to a political event, and he said he needed to get paperwork from his hotel room. When I arrived at his hotel room, I was already incapacitated, and I couldn't move my arms or my body. He raped me, and he choked me. And while he was choking me, I lost consciousness. And I thought I died. I did not consent to any sexual activity.
And of course, many are saying, why didn't you complain then? Why didn't you say something? Again, these were young female staffers, and he had connections to help them further their careers and get them more involved in things. And they also feared not just loss of connections and what he could do for them, but maybe retributions down the line. So, yeah, you could say, oh, they're just making it up and creating it now, and they're going after him for money and everything else. Same thing was said about those accusing Kavanaugh. I'll remind you of that. But I'll also remind you that Swalwell and the others were saying, believe the women, believe the women. And here in this case, Swalwell does not want you to believe the women. Nor Tony Gonzalez is going to resign as either. He does neither want you to believe the women. But he's leaving Congress. Members of Congress get a congressional pension. What happens if they're convicted of a crime? We'll get into that part of the story when we move forward to wrap up this hour of Larry Connors, USA.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors, USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so once again, back to the allegations of these women against Eric Swalwell, and those allegations made against Congressman Gonzalez as well. He's a Republican, keep in mind, so we're talking about Republican and a Democrat. And there are a couple of other, congressional members, Democrat and Republican, blowing in the wind right now. But some of the allegations go back years. If you're talking about rape, how far back can you go? Well, the statute of limitations for rape does vary by state. Some states have no time limit for prosecution. Others impose deadlines that might involve a few years, maybe decades. But then you can't bring the charges. Of course, if you're going to bring the charges, you're going to have the evidence of some type. Not just your word versus his word. Criminal cases we're talking about here. Some states have abolished the statute of limitations entirely, allowing victims to file charges at any time because they're acknowledging survivors of a rape face shock, shame, guilt, blaming themselves, putting themselves into the situation, all kinds of trauma and fear, and that delays them reporting, if ever. I remember years ago talking to a woman, and we were talking about a relative of hers that I knew. And she was talking on and on about things they used to do, and she just stopped. I said, "Are you okay?" And she shook her head, dropped her head, and tears started. Said, "I can't speak about what happened when I was a little girl with this relative." Again, I don't know if she was assaulted in some way, molested in some way. I don't know. I didn't inquire, didn't push it. But it was enough that it, in her mind, caused her to stop and relive that trauma. If it happened, maybe she's playing me. I'll have to accept that, but I don't think so. Now, of course, you also have civil lawsuits. And again, the time limits can range from 3 years to several decades. Again, it depends upon the state. Some states allow the victims to file claims until they reach a certain age, 18 or 21, especially if the victim was a minor at the time of the assault. These women were college students that you've been hearing their stories in the previous segment. And some states have provisions that pause the statute of limitations for victims who were minors at the time of the assault. So the time on the case and the act that took place doesn't really begin until the victim reach adulthood, giving them additional time to seek justice. And we've seen a lot of this play out inside the Catholic Church with priests preying upon minors, especially boys, and the Catholic Church doling out millions upon millions of dollars to supposedly make things better, but often not punishing the priest. That's an entirely different story we'll get into in some other day in more detail. But here's something to keep in mind. If a member of Congress is convicted of a crime, do they lose their congressional pension? Well, again, it depends on what can be proven. And I say convicted. If they are convicted, they might well. Where does Swalwell stand on that? He's had 13 years of service. So as early of this year, estimated to receive a congressional pension of about $22,600 per year. And this assumes a 1% accrual rate per year of service based on a $174,000 salary, which is what he gets. He would be eligible to collect the pension at age 62, around 2043. So he cannot collect it until he turns 62, and then whether or not he can collect it at that point will maybe depend upon criminal actions against him. Under current federal law, a member of Congress convicted of certain crimes can still receive, are you listening to me? Are you listening? They can still receive a taxpayer-funded pension, even if they're convicted. But only if they'd not yet exhausted all appeals. If you continually keep it in an appeal process, you're going to get the pension. While you're in jail, maybe. Here's how the law works, according to what I've researched for you. I'm not a lawyer. I want to make sure you understand that. This is what I pulled up in research. And I backed it up with other research, so it appears to be correct. Part of this coming from the Taxpayers Union. They refer to the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act of 2007. And also the Stop Trading on Insider Knowledge Act of 2012. And they do list specific federal crimes in this case. Bribery, racketeering, perjury, acting as a foreign agent. If you're fully convicted of them, they can strip you of your congressional pension. Now, perjury, if it can be proven that Swalwell lied under oath, then they can get him on that. And not just him, but any other member of Congress, House, Senate, oh yeah, the president, we'll come to that too, stand by. But these laws require that you be fully convicted. All appeals are exhausted. So the convicted members can receive payments for years while they're appealing. And pensions paid during the appeals process are not clawed back once all appeals are exhausted. That's your money to keep. The Senate in 2023 and signed into law in December 2024, the No Corruption Act that closes that loophole for convictions after December 23, 2024. It would immediately cut off pension payments after an initial public corruption conviction rather than waiting for a final conviction. And if the appeal is later successful, the money would be paid out retroactively. What does this mean for a current or a recent member of Congress? If convicted after December 23, 2024, they will no longer receive pension payments once a conviction is recorded. If convicted before that date, the old rules will apply, and they'll lose their pension only after exhausting all appeals. No member has yet been stripped of a pension under these laws, partly because of the appeal-based delay. So again, the bottom line, again, according to this research, because I'm not making it up, I'm not an attorney, but basically, under the old rules, convicted members can still get pensions if the appeals are continuing. The new law says recent convictions, you will lose your pension, even if you're appealing. But if you win the appeal, then all the money held from you, you get back. Now, former presidents get a taxable annual pension equal to a cabinet secretary's position, $250,000 as of 2025. And that lifetime pension begins immediately after leaving office. Then they get additional funding for staff, office space, travel. Former President Biden, due to his previous long service in Congress and as vice president, eligible for a separate congressional pension. His total projected retirement income as of 2024, more than $400,000. Well, he served our nation as a congressman and a vice president and as president. You can question what he did serve, and especially near the end, was he serving at all or just walking dead? And they get other benefits. What about Richard Nixon? When he resigned in 1974, he received an annual presidential pension at that time, $60,000. $96,000 added to that for office and staff expenses. Under the former President's Act, those benefits were granted because he resigned rather than being impeached and convicted. And later in retirement, Richard Nixon's pension increased to $153,000 annually. And Secret Service protection continues, unless they want to drop it. Nixon did relinquish his Secret Service protection 11 years after resigning. I don't know about Carter. I think at some point that he did the same thing because of his health and everything else. Sorry I did not get a chance to do that part of the investigation for you. So I'm not going to sit here and make something up. But all U.S. presidents received benefits like the ones I just told you. And by 1986, through a combination of Nixon's increased pension and other income, he was receiving $150,000 plus in government funding. Swalwell, if he is convicted of perjury as a criminal act, under the law, as I told you, that he can stop his pension immediately, even if he's appealing. And later, if he wins on an appeal, the money they held back from him, he will get returned. Of course, we're a long ways from a full answer on that and on the others. It makes for salacious information, material, and discussion, does it not? But if you're going to go with Eric Swalwell and what he had to say about the women coming out against Justice Kavanaugh, believe the women. He's not saying that this time around. Makes me wonder why. As you well know, you pay property tax. Yeah, you do. Yeah, and personal property tax as well. That's something entirely different. But property tax is not like your car. That's your home, your estate, whatever you call that you own as your property, your home. Missouri's trying to get rid of a lot of these personal property and roll back the current property tax and everything else, as other states are trying to do and have done. Florida Governor DeSantis has a big proposal.
from the property tax situation. It's very important, given how that's pinched so many homeowners, particularly our senior citizens who have their homes paid off and they bought it 30 years ago for a certain amount. Now they're being told it's worth so much more and they have to pony up more and more money. It's almost like they have to pay rent to the government just to be able to enjoy their property. And that's wrong. And we need to do something about it.
Yeah. And he wants a federal law, no property tax. Governor, I think you've gotten out over your skis on that one. I cannot see that happening. But go ahead and pitch it. Push it. Update on Iran. Trump is saying it's very close to being over. And according to him, Tehran wants to make a deal very badly. That's what he says. And if you missed it in our first hour, shame on you, but I understand you couldn't hear all the time, but you could pull up the podcast every day at Newstalk STL, LarryConnersUSA.com. And I called him Iranian Senator Mark Warner, really of Virginia, because he's saying Iran basically can say it's won the war. This is a sitting U.S. senator from Virginia saying that Iran has won the war. What a great commander-in-chief he would be, right? Oh, by the way, Disney announcing a latest round of layoffs. They say they want a more technologically enabled workforce. Hollywood continues to contract and dwindle, and I think that might be getting rid of DEI in part. The newly installed president of CEO of Disney said cutting 1,000 employees is cost saving and efficiency. It also says the end of wokeness may be for Disney. So sad. Right? Hey, join us again tomorrow from 6 to 8. For Larry Connors USA, tell your family and friends, even your enemies. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.